Basically, the Gaza Strip is a very small strip of land near the ocean, and it's cut off from the rest of the world, basically. But it sort of resides in between Israel and Egypt, and is isolated all to itself without any connection to the West Bank, Israel, or Egypt, or any access to the sea either. And in the Gaza Strip, there are about 1.5 million Palestinians living. In the West Bank, which is also under military occupation, there's another about approximately 3 million Palestinians. And the other big community in the area is the Palestinian citizens of Israel, who are about 1 million and some, a couple hundred thousand. So these are the three big Palestinian communities in the area. Of course, there's the Palestinian refugees living in Jordan and Syria, Lebanon, whose conditions differ than Palestinians living under Israeli control. These different communities have different situations that they live in, like I said. And so the Palestinians living in Gaza, the 1.5 million, those haven't been allowed in and out. Palestinians living in the West Bank can travel a little bit more freely inside the West Bank, though their travel is also very limited. And Palestinians living inside Israel are able to travel quite freely compared to the other two communities. So you can think of it like this. Say tomorrow there was some kind of war and Tasmania became completely separated and segregated from Australia, and the people of Tasmania were under blockade and weren't allowed in and out. So even though Tasmania would be part of Australia or under Australian control, the situation in Tasmania would be very different than the situation in Brisbane, for example. So in Israel-Palestine, of course, all this happens on a much, much, much smaller scale, because it's maybe 1/100,000th of the size of Australia or something like that. So it's quite a small area, but it's very segregated into different bits and pieces, and the reality in each piece is slightly different, or in this case of Gaza, very different than other places.
With a war going on in his country, I asked Rotem what it's like for him in his day-to-day life in Jerusalem.
Well, it depends. If you, as an Israeli, if you just sort of stick to your daily routine, it's not all that much different, except the stuff on television and in the newspapers is a little bit different. And if you have family, obviously, near where the fighting is happening, then you feel different. But otherwise, the day-to-day life looks exactly the same, functions exactly the same. It just, the feeling is much more tense. But of course, for people living in East Jerusalem, it's much, much more tense, and there have been quite a few demonstrations and stuff happening in East Jerusalem. And also, relating back and forth from West and East Jerusalem has become more tense. So, even for political activists like me, going to East Jerusalem where Palestinians are living, it's a more tense experience than it was before.
According to Adbusters, a public relations war is taking place alongside the bloody conflict. And for the moment, the Palestinians are losing it.
Any terror organization that chooses to booby trap his own people, I think it's indespicable. I think that it's not moral.
Adbusters cites two media outlets referring to the same event. International Herald Tribune carried the straightforward headline, "Israeli mortars kill 40 Palestinian refugees," while CNN ran the headline, "Israel, Hamas mortars prompted attack near UN schools." I asked Rotem his view.
There's small grains of truth in both reports. There has been almost a steady sort of bombardment of especially the town of Sderot in the near the Gaza border and around there for the past 3-4 years. But the extent of it is not what it may seem for people from Australia. When they hear bombardment, they think, Second World War or something like that. And in fact, the bombardment has been mostly from sort of homemade rockets or very low-tech rockets. Whereas the other point to consider is also that Gaza has been under constant bombardment and siege, most definitely for the past 4 years, but one can say even for the past 40 or even 60 years. And that is very rarely presented in the Israeli media, and of course, even more so sometimes in the international media.
Have you been to any peace rallies, Rotem?
I went to one a couple of days ago, but I haven't been as involved as I was in the past. There have been many, especially sort of creative and inspiring one for me was there was a demo of sort of anarchist friends near Air Force Base a couple of days ago. It was less of a demo, it was more of an exhibition. Trying to block the way for pilots coming into their base and exhibiting sort of what the effects of war are. So people were laying down and there was blood and there was sort of trying to bring home to a pilot who doesn't really see these pictures when he goes and bombs. And he sort of is very technical You get into your plane, you do as you're told, you drop the bombs, and you go back home. And of course, during wartime, every even fairly minor act like that is very heavily repressed. So those who were arrested on that action were taken and were spent to anywhere between a day to 3 days under arrest, and have been charged with very grave charges for pretty minor action. I've also felt in the last few days that, like, the reason why I haven't gone to ACT is because I feel that during wartime, this is my personal feeling, yeah, but it feels a lot of times like somebody pushes the button of war, and then everybody takes their positions. So the fighters fight, and the politicians argue, and the demonstrators demonstrate. And sort of trying to find a way of breaking that cycle in a way, and not playing my role necessarily.
What can a person do, though, to show their opposition against the war if they don't want to play the role of protester?
Well, that's the questions I'm asking myself. That's the reason why I didn't go to demonstrate, because I wanted to rethink my role and see what it is. And one of the small things I can do, of course, is talk to you and to people overseas and people I meet. But also, I think just one of the things I found useful is just to be with the pain of war for a little bit and just share that with people. And a lot of times people, especially Israelis, are more willing to hear that than to hear sort of the more political speech or angry speech or, you know, even demonstrations that are in essence non-violence but are very threatening to people. So in some situations that's been useful.
Free Palestine!